This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Marks, Julian Ng and Shariat Abdullah. And we have some local stories for you. But first, we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio. And we're asking, would you prefer to use a fintech platform or a bank to transfer money? Do tell us why. You've got about an hour left to answer. And then we'll be taking a look at the results after the 9 o'clock news. Now, back to some local news. In last quarter, AirAsia paid a special dividend of 90 cents after the airline group sold its 25 aircraft to US private investment firm Castle Lake LP in a deal worth $768 million or 3.2 billion ringgit last year.
That's right. This is part of AirAsia's shifting from the traditional model of owning aircraft to become an asset-light model. And there are many benefits to this, including lowering financial liabilities and making it cheaper to use planes through leasing.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the company has changed in its aircraft orders from Airbus CEO to Airbus Airbus CEO as well as Airbus Neo NEO, and selling the existing aircraft, which will reduce residual risk. Now, during AirAsia's conference call with analysts in May, the management have emphasized or reiterated that the carrier target to sell another 19 aircraft this year, and it will only own one aircraft by the end of its aircraft disposal exercise.
Chief Executive Officer Tony Fernandez, Tansri Tony Fernandez, in fact, has acknowledged that although AirAsia is pursuing an asset-light model now, the company may buy planes again if interest rates change. Now, speaking of the budget airline, though, in the last few years, there have been entrants of budget airlines in Asia with the likes of Peach Air, Scoot and Indigo. And it appears that there's now going to be a new and powerful competitor when China Eastern Airlines, according to The Star, expands its budget air travel, China United, to Asia, outside of China.
Yeah, I think this would be a formidable competitor because China Eastern is one of the top 10 airlines groups in the world. Currently, Beijing-based China United operates domestic routes with 49 aircrafts. It operates scheduled flights and charter services out of Beijing Nanyuan Airport. So in 3 to 5 years, China United will have about 80 aircraft to cover new destinations in Southeast Asia, South Korea and Japan.
Yeah, so they've acknowledged that AirAsia has been able to grab their large low-cost market share in China, and that they cannot be a threat to AirAsia, but instead just an alternative. So AirAsia, they fly to about 24 destinations in China from its hub in the region. It currently is the largest foreign carrier in China by capacity, with about 400 weekly flights.
And it's unsurprising that they should be thinking about going into the budget airline business, because if you take a look at China's existing aviation industry, their big three state-owned airlines, so China Airlines, Southern China, as well as China Eastern, still dominate the country's aviation market. But low-cost carriers are really starting to make a dent in their market share, so with the help especially of recent regulatory reforms. Now, the collective market share of China's budget airlines has risen to around 14% from less than 1% a decade ago. And LCCs account for 32% of the domestic airline market on average global.
So China is a big country. When you talk about domestic business for low-cost airlines, I mean, that's like a continent that can be actually equivalent to AirAsia's regional business as well. But AirAsia, of course, is the giant in the region because they've established a networking there, which will entrench its footprint over here in not only Southeast Asia, but further out in India and Japan as well. So if China decides to push the airlines, and they are state-funded, mind you, so we got to deal with competitive issues here as well. But if they decided to go out of the Chinese territory, this would be quite worrying for AirAsia, I think.
It looks like there's going to be lots of jostling for airspace in the aviation industry over the next in the coming time. Now, last week also we discussed proposals put forward by the Malaysian Trade Unions Congress, or MTUC, to amend Malaysia's labour laws. And one of those key recommendations was to expand coverage and protections of the Employment Act to all of those with a salary of 10,000 ringgit and below. Currently, it only applies for those with a salary of under 2,000 ringgit.
Yeah, so one of the implications is that the employees earning between 2,000 ringgit to 10,000 ringgit can now claim overtime. So there's been a lot of discussion on this, especially on the feasibility of this proposal, including our conversation with Ali Salman, the CEO of the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS, which you can listen to our morning brief segment in our BFM podcast.
So we also wanted to hear directly from the proponents of the reforms. So we have on the line MTUC Secretary General himself, Jay Solomon, to respond to some of the criticisms and comments. Thank you for joining us. So what would you say to those that question the employer's ability to afford said reforms?
I would say that the more relevant question to ask would be, what will the consequences be without such reforms? I'm not saying employers should completely ignore their profits, but the fact is they owe their stakeholders a moral and social responsibility and accountability. The failure to reform will have greater long-term serious implication for Malaysia's competitiveness. In order to have skilled, more motivated, healthier workforce and better productivity in the long term, the employers must invest on the workers and not propagate the idea of reaping profits without investing in the workers. So the reforms we are advocating are to help the workers have their dignity back with decent gross salaries. The dignity of workers should not be pawned for a few to benefit. This is where the government, the gatekeeper, between the employees and workers must play its role by reducing taxes and make it cheaper for investors. Let me emphasize, making it cheaper here should not mean keeping the wages low.
Now, you also want to extend to those people earning up to 10,000 ringgit for overtime claim. Employers would be not very receptive of this, would they?
Every worker needs social protection. Therefore, it is MTUC's contention that the Employment Act should protect all workers. However, for the purposes of overtime payment, it should be limited to those earning Ringgit Malaysia 10,000 and below. The reason we raised the eligibility to Ringgit Malaysia 10,000 for overtime was due to inflation and depreciation of the ringgit. The other reason is that the designations in Malaysia have been distorted to deprive workers' rights. Executive salaries in Malaysia are not that high comparatively. Workers earning even a monthly gross salary of Ringgit Malaysia 4,000 are classified as executives, depriving them of compensation for work done outside hours of work, and many of them are overworked without remuneration. We don't see any other implications on the employer except to pay for work done.
And one last question before we let you go. Now, how will you move forward to push these reforms?
The labour law reforms in particular, the proposal for the Employment Act, has been submitted to the Ministry of Human Resources, and this is expected to be deliberated at the National Labour Advisory Council before submission to Parliament. We are optimistic that when the social partners put the nation's interests as a priority, a consensus will be reached without shortchanging anyone through the National Labour Advisory Council, which will be the ideal forum for us to speak our minds.
And thank you so much for joining us. That was Jay Solomon, Secretary General of the Malaysian Trade Unions Congress. So I think some of the proposals that were initially put forth, just for a little bit of background, was raising the threshold for coverage for the Employment Act from a minimum salary of 2,000 ringgit a month to 10,000. Maternity leave to be raised from 60 days to 98 days and paternity leave of 7 days, as well as for both domestic workers and foreign workers to be covered under the Employment Act.
Yeah, we covered earlier this morning that the paternity leave would be introduced at 7 days. I think already people are up in arms about that. Employers are up in arms about that. I also understand the inflationary point that Jay Solomon raised, that 2,000 ringgit is nothing these days. Mm-hmm. So there is a need to actually update that figure.
All right. We are now heading into the 8 o'clock news with Keith Kam. Keep it here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.